The nursery ones downstairs. I tell you what, God is so good to us. I was thinking about that song. He is faithful, isn't he? Whew. You think about it. You know, if there's anything I have not been, I've not always been faithful to him. You know, there have been times where I have let God down many times, let people down in this earth. But I tell you what, he has been faithful. That blows my mind that a God that he sees what we do. He sees what we think. He sees our heart. He knows the future. He knew, you know, when I asked him to save my soul at 9 years old, he knew all the years ahead. All the times I'd fail him, yet still he was willing to save me. What a blessing to think about that. What a God. I tell you what, we'll be in John chapter 17. Man, God is so good to us. I'm glad we have his word. I say that a lot, but it is precious. It is it is pure and preserved to every generation. That's what the Bible says about itself, and I'm glad that we have it. Life would be much harder if we didn't have his word.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful we have it. Just going to look at a couple verses we dealt with earlier in John 17 on one of the evening services. This is a prayer. Jesus is praying to God the Father in this chapter. And you know, one thing I notice about Jesus Christ, he liked to pray. You read through the Gospels, he was stealing away to pray. And I tell you what, if Jesus Christ himself, if God manifest in the flesh, thought it was important and necessary to pray continually, think of all the more necessary it is for us to pray as well. But he kind of prays for himself in the first couple verses. But then I see right around verse 7, he starts to pray. He shifts gears, and instead of praying for himself, he starts praying for the disciples. And then later on you find out that everything he was praying for the disciples, he was also praying for every believer that would ever come. So this is I like this prayer because, you know, we know that Jesus is an intercessor, right? We know that he intercedes for us. He prays for us while we are here trying to do his will. And we get just a little glimpse of what one of those prayers sounds like. So I want to start at verse 13. So John 17, verse 13, Jesus says this, "And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil." They that are not of the world, even as I am not of the world, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, we thank you for the songs, the testimonies, the fellowship. Lord, I pray that you would just be with us, Lord, for this time. Help us to focus on your word. Focus on this prayer that we're listening in on. And Lord, let us apply it to our lives. If there's any lost, I pray that they would come to Jesus today. Lord, any backslidden, that they would find healing. Any confused, that they would find direction. And any Christian that's discouraged, they'd find encouragement. And Lord, help us to draw nearer to you than ever before. And in Jesus' name we pray, and amen.
Amen.
So we see here at the beginning of this passage I was looking at, he says, "And now come I to thee, these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." You know, a couple chapters earlier, chapter 15, is where he talks about he is the vine and we are the branches. We like that chapter. And he tells us to abide in the vine, abide in Jesus in that chapter, continue in his love, and keep his commandments. But then in John 15, 11, he tells us why he wants us to do all these things. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." He is saying, Jesus is telling them in chapter 15, he's saying, listen, you want your joy to be full, you want it to be fulfilled in your life, then there's some things you have to do. You have to abide in me, you have to draw near to me, walk by faith, walk in love, keep my commandments, and you will find enjoyment in life. And see, people will say that becoming a Christian takes all the fun out of your life. life, but I'm here to tell you that you won't find joy in this world outside of Jesus Christ. And in our passage, he says that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. What does joy mean? It means passion, excitement, fulfillment, happiness, a glorious and triumphant state, gladness and exhilaration. You think about all those words. When's the last time you really felt those words? When's the last time in your life, to the fullest extent, you've had joy in your life? Jesus said, he's praying to the Father, and he says, I want them to have that joy fulfilled in their lives. We want that joy in our life. Then we got to do what Jesus said a couple chapters prior. We've got to abide in him. We've got to be serving in love and living in love. We've got to do these things, keep his commandments, and we will find joy in it. I'm glad Jesus said, I don't want them to just have a little bit of joy, right? Or just some fleeting joy. No, he said, I want my joy fulfilled. And that's what I want in my life. I want something that's real, not a temporary happiness, not a temporary satisfaction that this world gives. I want something real from Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you the truth. There's been times in my life, those times when I've just fully trusted in him, even when it didn't make sense, and said, God, you're going to have to do this. God, I'm afraid. God, I can't make it. And there he is, giving us what we need, right in time, just in time, just as much as we need. And those times are some of the most blessed times in my life. I remember heading to the Philippines the first time, all by myself, and I'm thinking, I've flown all this way, and either Brother Matamas is going to be standing there, or he's not. I'm hoping he is, because I don't know this place that I'm going. But he was there, and we had a wonderful time, and God showed me some things, and I say, thank you, Lord. If we just trust in him, he will have fulfilled joy. Amen. This world's trying to find joy, aren't they? They're trying to find satisfaction in every place, but I'm here to tell you, I don't want to trade the fullness of joy for anything temporary out here. The only place we'll find it is in Jesus Christ. Let's move on. Verse 14, what's he say in the first few verses, or first few words of the verse? I have given them thy word. I've already said it. What a tremendous blessing we have. We've got the Bible today. We have got everything that God wanted to reveal to us. He has it. He's given it to us. It's not full of errors. It doesn't contradict himself. It's not outdated. We don't need another chapter or another book or another revelation. We've got everything right here. And I think about it. You would think if God would tell us everything that we'd ever need, it would fill up volumes and volumes and libraries and everything else. But he said, I boiled it down into this right here. Just a couple thousand pages that you could read in a 40-hour time frame. You could read the whole thing. He said, I've got everything you need. I'll tell you what, it is a blessing, because I don't know about you. When I get into his word, it doesn't matter if I've read a passage a million times. It has got something fresh for me. It has got, it's like a well. It's got refreshment. It's got promises. It's got life breathed into it. And I say, thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you. It is a gift that we've got God's word. This isn't the words of men. This is the words of God right here. He's reminding us, I've given them thy word, God's word. But what's he say after that? And the world hated them. You see that? What's he say? Who does the world hate? You want to know who the world hates today? They call a lot of people haters. They hate everyone that takes this Bible here and stands on it and preaches it and testifies it and lives by it. Right? The world hates this thing right here. They hate the truth. And I'll tell you what, you try to raise your children by the Bible, this world hates it, right? And they try to get in the way. You try to live your life by the Bible, this world doesn't like it. You go into your job and you try to be an employee based on what God says in his word, this world hates it. Why? He tells us right here, he says the world will hate you when you stand on the Bible. Christian people, when we use our Bible as a foundation and guide, the world hates it. Yeah. But here's the problem. Many Christians, you know what they do? You know what we do? We ignore the Bible, right? Yeah. We have it. We have it on our shelf. We've got it on our phones, on our computer, everywhere else. You can get it within seconds. But we ignore it. We push it away. We let it sit on the shelf. We play games on the phone instead of reading some scripture throughout the day. And then not only that, we've got a great opportunity. I've said it before, but before this service, we have a secret gathering before we come in here at 11. At 10 o'clock, we have Sunday school. We get into God's Word. We learn about it. We are blessed by it. You can ask questions. And I'm telling you what, you want a good way to equip your children. You want a good way to equip yourself in this life. It is coming to Sunday school. It's coming to church morning and evening. And it's getting in the Bible in between and letting it live and be fed and let it direct your life. But I tell you what, here's the problem. You start doing that, this world's going to hate you.
That's right.
He says that this world will hate you. You know what the other temptation is to do? Either to put it off to the side. You know what a lot of churches, so-called churches, have done today? They've just abandoned it, right? They've replaced it. They've reworded it. So that way the world won't hate them. You realize some churches the world's fine with. Because they've taken this, they've taken the offense of the word out of it. Or use a version of the Bible that's so rewritten and so cut. And they've taken verses out and everything else, where they've taken all power and all offense out of it. But I'll tell you what, I want the real word, the true word, the complete word. That's what saved me. That's what I need for every day of my life. I don't know about you. Listen to Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know what he's saying right there? He says, first, we need to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Remember what I talked about before? That living sacrifice is abiding in the vine. It's walking by faith and love and trusting God. That's serving God right there.
Amen.
He said that's the reasonable sacrifice. That's how we get our joy. But look what else he talks to. He says, and be not conformed to this world. You know what that word conform means? Made to resemble. Reduced to the likeness of. Making it agreeable to. You know what he's saying? Be not conformed to this world. This world has a look. This world speaks a certain way.
Yeah.
This world has a set of morals that they change and has political correctness that changes by the day. And he says, I don't want you to be conformed to this world. That means I don't want you to resemble them when you talk. I don't want you to look like them when you live your life and you go to work and school and everything else. I don't want you to be agreeable to them. He's saying, be not conformed to this world.
Yeah.
It's a trap. Why? The devil knows that a lot of us hate confrontation. We hate conflict. We hate rocking the boat. Now, some people like that, but I'm not one of those type of people. So in order to avoid confrontation, the easy way out is just to slide right in and look just like the world and be quiet and don't mention anything about God's word. But that's what we're slowly being conformed. That's what the devil wants, doesn't he? He wants us to be conformed. He wants us to, what does this world want? That's what they demand, is conformity. You know what they'll say out of one side of their mouth? They'll say, well, you just be yourself, do your own thing. But I'll tell you what, try going against their demands.
Right.
Try going against what they say is right.
Right.
Try saying that some things are sin and not a life choice, and see the hatred come out. In fact, you realize Jesus Christ himself refused to conform to this world. He refused. Remember what the Jews wanted when he came? They wanted a political Messiah. They wanted Jesus to take over, to knock off Rome, and for them to be free. That was their plan for Jesus. But guess what? He wasn't conformed. He said, I came to save sinners. I came to be a servant. I came to die. He said, my kingdom, it's not time for my kingdom right now. And he ended up dying on the cross. In fact, as he's starting to make it plain to them that his plan was to die on the cross. Remember Matthew chapter 16, he's talking to Peter and the disciples, and Jesus, it says, he began to show them that he'd be killed by the chief priests and scribes and be raised again on the third day. Well, isn't that what he did, right? Looking back, isn't that exactly what Jesus did? You know what Peter responded and said? He rebuked him. Right? Peter rebuked him when he heard that.
Yeah, he did.
Why? Because Peter wanted the political Messiah.
Yeah.
You know what Jesus told to Peter? Get thee behind me, Satan. Yeah. Thou art an offense to me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. You realize when you and I start to conform to this world and we start to resemble their conversations, resemble their actions, resemble what they put on social media, when we start to do that, it's an offense to Jesus Christ.
Yes.
No different than he had been offended by Peter when Peter said, "No, Lord, you're not going to die." We're offending the very God who died for our sins. You know what we need to do? Instead of being pressed into the mold of this world, instead of looking like the world, talking like the world, acting like the world, you know what all those things do? They all hinder people from coming to Jesus. Right? When we as a Christian act like the world, then all they do is say, "Well, what's the difference?" That's why they took a poll the other day and they asked Congress, and 88% of them said, the current Congress right now said they're all Christians. Really? Really? I doubt that.
Right.
I see a whole bunch of people conform to the world to get all their votes, right? That's what they want.
88%.
You know what a Christian is? One that goes against the world.
Right.
And goes and stands for the Bible, because Jesus did it first, and it's his word, and we're walking in the same way. And realize, in a lot of this prayer, in this section, you'll realize he's saying over and over again, they're not of the world. They're not of the world. Because I wasn't of the world. They're not of the world. That should be a reminder to us. Are you in the world?
Right.
Are you out of the world? Because we need to be out. Verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You want to know how we're set apart from the world? It is exactly sanctifying means set apart. The only way that happens is if we fill ourselves with God's word. Well, let's keep going. Look at verse 15 and 16. Verse 15 might shock you, the beginning of it. You see what Jesus, he's praying to God the Father. He says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. Wait a second. Did he really say that? I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. What we want Jesus to say is, I pray that thou shouldest take them out of the world. Take us out, right? Get us out of here. You see what Jesus is saying? I'm not praying that. I know you're not of this world. And I know because of that, this world hates you. But I am not, even though if you refuse to conform to this world, you'll undergo persecution. Some may even die for the faith. You would think he'd want us to go straight to heaven. But he said, no, I don't want that. Why? Because there is a greater value to this world for a Christian that stays put right here, lives by faith, lives by the truth, speaks the truth, and tells people, walks by faith and tells people the truth of the Bible. If he took all of us right now, there'd be no truth left. You realize something? The whole reason you and I are here are to show this world that there is a Jesus Christ. How do we show that? First, we show them that he made us a new creature in Christ. I didn't turn over a new leaf. I didn't take some 12-step program. I heard the gospel. The Spirit touched me. I realized I was a sinner and going straight to hell at 9 years old. I got down with just a little bit of faith, and I prayed and asked him to save. I didn't understand everything. I wasn't an expert in everything, but I knew one thing, that Jesus died for my sins and he rose on the third day, and I knew the Bible said if I just call upon his name, I'd be saved. That's all I did, and he saved my soul. I don't know about you. I wish he would have taken me right then and there, but you know what? If I will just serve him, and if you will just serve him and trust him and speak the truth and walk according to this word, this world will see it. And I've told you times are rough right now, but actually these times of difficulty, these times of pestilence, these times of everything else, it gets the world to quit looking at all the riches, quit looking at all their play pretties, quit looking at everything that gives them temporary satisfaction because they're failing and falling, and realize, I want something that this church has. I want something that you have because it's real and it's lasting. You know what this world is looking at? Us, they're looking at us when we go through the trial, when we go through the valley, and say, wait a second, why didn't he quit? Why didn't she quit? Why didn't she give up? Why is she still going to church? Why is he still praising the Lord? Look at what he's done. Hasn't he abandoned? And we can say, no, God hasn't abandoned me here. He knows I'm here. He knows that I'm in the midst of the world. He knows this world hates me. That's why he's praying to God. Do you realize what this is? This is a picture of Jesus Christ interceding, and he is doing that for the church right now. And I say, thank you, Jesus. You know where we're at because you were in the same hostile environment before we were. I tell you what, nobody's ran me out and tried to throw me off of a cliff, but they tried to do that with our Savior because they hated what he said. But look what he says. We have a greater value of being here. We've got a greater value showing them that we're a new creature. We've got a greater value showing them the Holy Spirit dwells within us. So the question to ask ourselves, do you really stand out from the world? Do you sound different than the world? Or have you conformed?
Yeah.
Well, here's the better question. If you think you are, does the world hate you? Right? Because it will. It will. They may not always say it to your face, but some people just can't stand the fact that we claim to be a Christian.
Yeah.
They'll look at you and say, well, you're not perfect.
Right.
Say, praise God, but he's making me better every day. You know what's slowing down the process of me getting better every day? It's me. You know what's slowing down me getting closer and being more of a picture of what Jesus wants me to be? I'm the one. He's not the one in trouble. I'm the one that keeps fighting against him.
Yeah.
But I'm glad he's changed me and he's helped me through many things. And he's helped each one of us.
Amen.
But he's praying on our behalf. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So if you see something, we just touched on three parts right here. Remember at the beginning, he talked about, he's praying, Jesus is praying to God the Father, and he's saying at first, remember, he is talking about the joy. He doesn't want our joy to be robbed by not walking by faith and abiding in Christ. Then he talks about the Word. The next danger is that the Word would be ignored in our lives, and we'd miss out on the truth that Jesus Christ has given us. And then finally, the other danger is us conforming to the world, that we start to offend Jesus Christ. So I just boiled it down to three things. Our joy being robbed, the Word being ignored, and us conforming to the world. Now stop, and I want you to think about something for a second. What does the devil fight us the most on, day in and day out as a Christian? What's he try to do each day? He tries to steal our joy, doesn't he? He tries to attack our mind, get us to focus on every problem, get us to focus on our trial instead of the Lord. And the Lord says, think on these things, think on good things, think on holy things. But the devil's trying to steal our joy. What else is he trying to do? He's trying to get us to stay away from this as best he can. Or if we're going to get in it, he wants us to get in one that's no good. Right? Doesn't he attack? Doesn't he attack this word so hard? Even in our own lives. We sit down and get ready to read something, to study something, and then all of a sudden the distraction comes.
Yeah.
What about conforming to the world? Doesn't he fight us with that? Peer pressure?
Yeah.
You thought the peer pressure ended when you got out of school. It's still there at the workplace.
That's right. Yeah.
It's still there at family functions, right?
Amen.
Trying to conform. He's fighting us on all these three. Is he fighting you in these areas? Because one thing you could say, man, I just feel like I'm failing. But I'll give you something encouraging. If the devil is fighting you in these areas, It's because you're doing what God wants you to do.
Yeah.
He wouldn't fight you if you weren't on the front lines. Right? That's where the fight is, on the front lines. If you're way in the back, there's no fight there. But I tell you what. You want to know how to get your joy back? Get back to serving and trusting in Jesus Christ. You want to know what Jesus really expects of your life? Open up your Bible and get in it. And you want to make a difference to this world and those around you that you love. You've got to stop conforming to this world.
Right.
And you've got to live a transformed life.
Amen.
That's what it takes. It's not easy going against the world. It's not easy standing up for Jesus Christ. But now I want you to remember something. Who's praying right now?
Yeah.
Who's praying? Right? Who's the one calling out to God the Father? Who's the one that's doing this? It's Jesus. He's the one that wants to us to succeed. Look at verse 20. When he's in this prayer, neither pray I for these alone, that's the disciples, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word. Who are we today? We're not the original disciples. It's been a while since they were here. But who are we? We're ones that have heard the same word. Passed down generation to generation. The same Jesus that many have called on across the world all of these years. That word has been passed down not by accident, not by happenstance, but by God. He has made sure that there's been a continuous voice and a continuous, I say praise God, this Bible's in our language. We don't have to translate it or retranslate or anything else. We've got it right here and it's been passed down generation after generation, and finally it's got to us, and then we heard the word, and we believed on it, and we trusted on it, and Jesus said, everything that I am praying right here, in this moment, at that period of time, I'm not just praying for the 12, but I'm praying for this church, I'm praying for you, and I want you to succeed. I'm glad I'm not in this alone. You're not in this alone. Not only do we have each other, we've got the Holy Spirit that dwells within. We've got God the Father interceding. It's going to be hard to get, it's hard to be totally defeated when that happens. Why? Because Jesus is in heaven. Satan tries to rule and reign, but one day Satan will fall. He tries to discourage, but aren't you glad? Even when Jeremiah was discouraged and depressed, even when Elijah asked God to take his life, even when Moses wanted to quit, here was the word came right back. It was God picking him back up. I don't know about you. I've wanted to quit many times, but I'm glad there's God. I've been frustrated many times. I've been disappointed in myself many times, but there's God trying to help me. He's lifting me up. He's saying we can keep on going. I don't know about you. I don't know how long we have left. I feel like time is drawing short. And if that is the case, if we really believe time's drawing short, then it is all the more reason that we get the truth out there. We show them what a true Christian is. Not one that's popular. Not one that fits in with the world, but one that stands on the truth, because this is the only thing that will get somebody to heaven.
Amen.
Is the truth.
That's right.
I've already said it. I went to a funeral years back. Had no testimony. Died of a drug overdose. It was an awful situation. Young man. Had a child. I think one child and one on the way. It was just awful. The whole situation. And we're there at the funeral. And this man gets up and he's trying to convince us that he's in heaven with no testimony. You know what I realized sitting in the back of that funeral home is I couldn't feel even just a tiny ounce of hope there.
Yeah.
There was nothing there. But you know what? I've been at funerals where we've taken this right here and we've just said what Jesus said. And we said what God revealed and the Holy Spirit. And there's hope there. There's hope there. This world thinks there's nothing left after this life. I'm telling you what. There's nothing much to this life when we're thinking about the life to come. It's opposite. Everything is what's to come. We're just down here being a representative. I'm going to ask everyone to stand.